Today, we will be reading Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 22. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord God, I pray that as we read your word today, Lord, bring it alive in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would hear your voice. Speak to us. Lord, guide us and direct us. Help us understand what it is that we read and how you would have us live and change because of it. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 22. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with the guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.' Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we know that you are a man of integrity, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others, because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us, then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?' But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, 'You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax.' They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, 'Whose image is this, and whose inscription?' 'Caesar's,' they replied. Then he said to them, 'So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's.' When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away." All right, in today's reading, we have two stories. The first story, Jesus tells a parable, and he compares the kingdom of heaven to a king who has invited many people to his wedding banquet. His son is getting married, and he invites many to come. But the strange thing happens. When it's time for the banquet, the people that he invited, his subjects, choose not to come. They're too busy. One goes to his business, one goes to his field. And so he sends more, and they actually kill the servants. Now, Jesus is comparing this to the Jewish people, that God had given them so many things. God had sent prophets, and God had revealed to them so many things, and yet they just ignored it. They actually killed the prophets that God had sent to invite them to come back to him. And so Jesus then says, well, the king went and destroyed that city and killed those who had murdered the servants. And just like that, God had destroyed Israel for a time at the end, in the Old Testament, that other countries had come, they had invaded it, and destroyed everything. They had taken the Israelites captive, they were taken back to Babylon, the other country, to be slaves. And so, this had happened. But Jesus is kind of taking it further, and he's saying, even today, there are people who are like that. And I think he's continuing the part that he had been confronting the Pharisees in the last chapter. And he is once again saying, you have been invited to the wedding banquet, but you're refusing to go. But God is going to bring other people. People that you might think, oh, they don't deserve to be there. But God will still bring them. And so the king goes out and says, go, fill my banquet hall. And so they go, and they bring people from the streets, and they bring the bad people as well as the good people. And I think this is a picture of heaven, that God doesn't limit it to just the Jewish people, because God is truly the God of the entire world. God is the God who wants all people to come, not just a certain race or people from a certain country. He wants everyone, and he has opened up his invitation to everyone, the bad as well as the good. Now, there's an interesting part of the story. The king comes in and he finds someone who is not dressed in wedding clothes. And I'll be honest, when I read this, at first it confused me, because I think, well, the servants went out to the streets and brought people off the streets. Of course, someone is not going to be in their wedding clothes. But as I read it and thought about it and looked at some writing and analysis of other Bible teachers, there are several explanations and things that make sense. First, when he would have invited them, they would have still had a chance to go and change, to put on some clean clothes, whatever they had that was the best that they had. But this man hadn't done it. A second option is that, as the king, he could have provided clothes for them, and this man simply didn't put them on. And so, whatever the case, something has happened, and the man doesn't say, oh, well, I never had a chance to put on wedding clothes. He has no excuse. And so, within the story, it is clear that all of the other people have on wedding clothes, and that even this man, because he is speechless, he seems to know that he should be wearing something different, and that he probably had the opportunity to get something different, but he chose not to. So what does this mean? Who is this in this picture? Well, when we come to Jesus, Jesus changes us. We are told throughout the New Testament, in the writings of the apostles after Jesus goes back to heaven, there are several places where it talks about when we become believers and followers of Christ, we are to take off the old person and put on Jesus. That Jesus provides us and clothes us in new garments. That when we come to him, we are turning away from our old lifestyle and putting him on. That Jesus is our covering. That Jesus washes us, cleanses us, and makes us clean. when we have come to him in faith. And so as I look at this story, I see someone who tries to come, but they don't do it the way that they are supposed to. They say, oh, I want to go to heaven, but they're not willing to change. They're not willing to repent and turn from the sin that they have been clinging to, the sin that they are dressed in, the sin that is corrupting and destroying their life. They cling to it, and they refuse to leave it behind. They refuse to put on Christ and to follow him and to become new. Instead, they think, oh, I will still be the same person. I'll just, you know, go and follow Jesus, but I'll still be me. I think in following Jesus, there is an element of repentance, that we turn from the sin that took us and separates us from God. And this man apparently has not done that. And so that's why he is cast out, because he never repented. He never turned truly to Jesus. The next story, we see the Pharisees coming and asking about taxes. And they say, is it right to pay the tax to Caesar? Well, they are trying to trap him. If he says, no, don't pay the tax, then the Romans will be angry with him. And the Romans will call him a rebel who is trying to stir up rebellion, and they will arrest him, because the Jewish people are under the Roman authority and the Roman government, and they have to pay the taxes. And so if Jesus said, no, don't pay the taxes, then the Pharisees could have the Romans arrest him for trying to start a rebellion. But if he says, yes, pay the tax, then the Pharisees will try to turn the people against Jesus, saying, oh, he is a Roman sympathizer. He is not with us. He is one of the enemies. But Jesus does something very interesting. He sees what they're trying to do. And so he says, bring me a coin. Let's see it. So they show him the coin. And on the coin, there is a picture of Caesar. So he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God's what is God's. I think the principle that this teaches me is that we are underneath our earthly government. That even as followers of Jesus, God is our ultimate authority. God is our true king. But that does not mean that we ignore the government that God has placed us on here on this earth. Instead, we submit, we obey, we do what our government tells us to do, to the extent that it does not violate the laws of God. And so here Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Do what they tell you to do, but also give to God what is God's. So today, I want to just look back at that first story. Have you accepted God's invitation to his wedding banquet? Have you accepted God's invitation to heaven? Or are you too busy, like those first people, one going off to work, one going to his field, doing this, doing that? Are you actually hating and attacking the servants that are inviting you? Or have you accepted the invitation? If you are accepting the invitation, are you ready to change? Are you ready to repent, to turn to God, and let him dress you in clean clothes? Let him change you. The Bible says that in Christ we are a new creation. And that is the wonderful, blessed thing about following Jesus, that he transforms us. He makes us new like him. He takes away the sin and gives us his spirit to follow him. Have you accepted that invitation? If not, I pray that today you would accept it. Don't wait. Follow him today. Lord God, I pray that you would just draw many people to you. Lord, as we are following you, I pray that you would help us to truly turn from sin, that we would put you on, that we would repent and turn and put away that old way of life, put away the sins that are taking us away from you, and live and dwell completely in you. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.